Hello and welcome to Booktopia On. I am Bronwyn.
I'm Tracy.
I'm John.
I'm Sarah.
And today we're talking about a rewrite. I can't say this, guys.
Rewrite wish list.
Thank you. The rewrite. I've been struggling
the
before
books
the podcast.
We wish that we would could rewrite.
Yeah. So this is a little spoilery, everyone. We're mostly talking about, you know, really old books, nothing new. So we're not going to talk about a book that came out last week that you haven't had a chance to get your hands on yet. But just be aware that, you know, we may spoil something that you may not know. So just
inevitably, we're going to talk about endings of books that we might like to change.
and big dramatic things that happen that we just, you know, wish had never happened or things like that, like deaths of characters or whatever. So
proceed with caution.
Proceed with caution, I think, is it? Okay, who's going
to
start
us off? We're essentially telling people not to listen to us, which is antithetical to the whole podcast idea. But hey, just saying, if you're very sensitive about knowing things that happen in books, that's what this discussion is about.
I'm going to say a lot of the books on my list are really big franchise things that people have most likely read or watched.
I think we're pretty safe. And also, I still maintain my thing is that spoilers don't exist and there's no
You are very adamant about that.
I don't. The world is just way too sensitive about spoilers.
No, we've warned them.
I think I knew that Hamlet died in the end before I watched Hamlet.
Doesn't it ruin it?
I've watched it 10 times. I mean, yeah. I've seen so many times and read it.
Do you know who spoiled The Sixth Sense for me? Drew Barrymore, because I was watching...
Your good friend Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, my good friend
Drew. Having coffee.
No, because I was watching 50 First Dates, and they watched the movie in that, and then, again, spoiler everyone coming, she goes, at the end, I can't believe it, Bruce Willis was a ghost, and I was like, Drew, I haven't seen the movie yet.
That's not going to ruin that movie.
No, but it still didn't. It was still amazing.
Yeah, and Mayor Wigham?
Wait, I'm going in The Simpsons.
Wait, The Simpsons. Who's the mayor in the...
Quimby.
Quimby says, and the chicken, the crying game is a guy. and then all the crowd go, oh.
Like, there are some things that it might be a shame to know because you would like to be surprised. Mm. But also, grow up. Like, it's not if you didn't read it as early as possible or watch it as early as possible, you can't forbid everyone in the world from talking about it.
Yeah,
it's irrational, and that's all we have to say on the subject of spoilers, which actually isn't the subject of this podcast.
No, it isn't.
I'll start us off because this is a big one that again people will probably know. I'm going to go to the Harry Potter universe and say that I'm very angry at J.K. Rowling for killing Fred Weasley.
Really? That's what you changed?
Yes, I would change that. I would change that. I just don't. That was the one thing that, I mean...
I just nixed the epilogue and keep everything exactly the same.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but it was horrible. I hate it. Again, it comes back to that thing that I think I mentioned the other week where if there's a couple and they kill off one of them and I'd rather them just both die.
No, because then that's Tonks and Remus.
Yeah, but they're not Fred and George.
Leaving their orphaned child behind.
Yeah, but you want the child be fine.
So, say for me, it was Sirius Black. I know why that had to happen for the ending of the series, but still, it was like
every death is sad.
You know, every death is sad.
But I don't think there are any that were unnecessary.
Yeah, but I'm going to call you up on that because you're talking about being wusses about spoilers and the rest of it. And there you are with bad. You're not very good with bad endings or things that aren't the way you like it to go in.
No, I'm
in
fine
tragedy.
With the sad ending. I'm not saying we should revive any of these characters. I was really upset when they died, but that's what made the book good.
Yeah.
I would get rid of the epilogue because it was just not good. I didn't need to see it. I didn't need to know that Harry named his son after Snape, which I find
unbelievable.
Completely unbelievable in our character. And
sorry, JK.
It was just it had an ending. It was really good. It was a really great ending, and the epilogue was overkill.
Well, it kind of it takes it, and they did the same in The Hunger Games. They did that jump forward 5-10 years.
I would get rid of the second and third book in The Hunger Games and make it a standalone.
I like the second one though.
I'll tell you why you like the second one, because it was the first one retold. They just did The Hunger Games all over again. It's the exact same thing.
That's
and
why
it was a
I
great
like it.
First book, and I loved it, and it was great and fun. It didn't need to be a series, so I feel like maybe it's sacrilege, but I thought it could be a standalone.
But I think it's often the thing you'd change most about the books you love is that the authors stretch them out way too long. So I'm thinking of the Robert Jordan Wheel of Time series. That should have ended after maybe 5-6 books, not 13, 14, however many they ended
Beyond
up
the
publishing.
Grave.
Beyond the Grave, yeah.
Yeah, and also, too, I think to a certain extent, George R. R. Martin with...
Oh, that should have ended
ages ago. But I mean, the books are amazing.
We would just like end things sooner.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Just turn it off way, way.
Some
yeah.
I can't think of many books or series that have gone beyond. I don't want to put a number on it because I bet you I'll get disproved as soon as I say it. But like 5. Oh no, so Harry Potter, let's say 7. Once you go beyond 7, is it necessary anymore? Haven't you told the story? Like, isn't it
7 made sense though for Harry Potter because it was one per school year.
Yeah.
Like that's different, but because
not every
very,
series has to go for
no,
7.
No, 7 is a very random number. That's why 3 is the general kind of go to.
I like duologies and standalones personally.
I mean, I like series, but yeah, this like
so you
time,
would just cross out all the
it just kept going back to the same point. Like you go through 3 books and thinking of moving forward and then all of a sudden you're back at where you were 3 books ago and it's just
I've never read this series and every time someone talks to me about it I'm more convinced that that's not something I will read.
It is a good series, it's just way too long.
What would you change, John?
The one thing that keeps popping in my head is Picture of Dorian Gray.
Okay.
I feel that it has such a great first half, and I don't know if I mean if we're talking about rewriting, I'm going, I don't think I'm qualified to rewrite.
What would you change about it?
I don't know. It just loses
itself.
You didn't
feel it was balanced.
Yeah, it just wasn't balanced, and there was such wit and generosity in the first half that kind of just gets lost in the second half, and it doesn't have the direction or the movement of the first half, and I loved that book. I mean, I love the whole thing. I've read the whole thing, but I just think that sometimes writers are really on their game,
and then they lose it a bit.
Yeah, they lose it a bit, and I think he lost it a bit.
Thanks a lot, Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
But you can't think of a specific change that you feel would have made it better.
No, I think that it just wandered away. It wandered too much into his, like there were all these other characters that sort of involved in that first part, and largely it's what we like in the Genesis story. So it's kind of the genesis of him, which is the really interesting part, him being himself. It's like I don't know if you've read Talented Mr. Ripley, but that book just you cannot stop reading this thing, and it is so devious and so brilliant. You go on to the next one, and you're like. Okay, so it's just a bastard being a bastard for the whole novel? I can't remember.
Yeah. It's only interesting. It's like the concept of Breaking Bad. Once
they're
like,
bad,
yeah,
you're like,
we're done here.
Yeah, there's no drama in that. There's no no crisis. Mm. And I think that's what happens in Dorian Gray. You've got this crisis, and then he becomes this thing,
and then it's
just
boring
continues on. Yeah, just didn't sort of develop. Or just, he reached a plateau. Mm.
I haven't read it, but I feel like I want to read it now.
It's got some of the best lines in literature, it's so
I probably good. Would recognise a bit of it, yeah.
Oh, so many of them. Most of the quotes that he's known for come from that. Mm-hmm. Lord Henry is just wicked.
And it's such a good concept. Oh.
Tara, that was my phone. Oh,
really?
That's never happened, everyone. Awkward.
Amazing. Appalling, I'm appalled.
You've got a list, Sarah.
Come on.
I do. Okay, the first one. They aren't even all books I would change. Some of them are just books that people always talk about changing that I wouldn't change. So,
okay,
I like to
argue against it. Yeah.
So the first one is Mansfield Park. I would just tweak it so that they're not cousins. Like
that'd be
that's all that I would do, and then I would be so fine with that book. But it's just something that you can't ignore.
I think I would give him a bit more.
I would love to. I would also love to rewrite it so that she ends up with Henry Crawford, even though I know that unravels the whole point of the book. I just sort of love to read it and see that happen. I just love someone to write a version of it where that happens, and then I'd be happy, and then I'd know that it wasn't supposed to be that way.
Yeah, we just call it the Crawfords, instead of the Manfield Park.
Crawfords.
Yeah,
sure.
They're the wickedest people in Austin, so I love those.
They're not unlikable though, which is why they're so great. I would love to read
They're interesting characters, even if they're bad.
But it would be
they're
nice.
They're bad in a Jane Austen sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Immoral.
They're lacking moral fibre.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to. I wouldn't say that the book should be changed to that, but I'd love to read it.
Yeah.
I would just love
this
to read
it. This is why fanfic was invented, everyone.
Yeah. I know, but unless Jane Austen
comes
back from the grave and writes it, I'm not interested.
And we also know what that leads to.
Fifty Shades of Grey. I mean, it did it lead to Twilight? Twilight led to 50 Shades of Grey.
But didn't Twilight came from fanfic, right?
Did it?
I thought it did.
I think we all just think that because of the way that it is. I don't know how else to say that.
No, the Twilight didn't come from fantasy.
No, I think that was essentially original. It came it's from derivative, but like
Fantasy Twilight. Of Twilight.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
I see.
Yes.
So that's another one where I would scrap out the whole series, and the first largely inoffensive book should have been a standalone. Sweet,
yeah.
Right? Cute
yeah,
little
I agree.
Romance. I would have gone
Fifty
through
Shades.
And changed a few of the
no,
like
no, and Twilight.
Oh, Twilight.
Twilight. No, 50 Shades shouldn't exist.
Sorry, that's a rewrite.
Is that, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, see, I in the second Twilight New Moon, what I couldn't stand was how she, when he left her, she turned into this wallowing pit of despair and like
oh, and
started to become really reckless and jumping off cliffs for thrill, and I just hated it. She was like, without him, my life means nothing, and that was just.
And she did the thing where, oh, my character has depression, so now we're going to have blank pages with just the names of months on the top of it.
Yeah. Yes.
That would offend me.
Deeply. I would rewrite Bella Swan completely.
Like,
I
nothing interesting ever
background.
Happens to anyone who
yes.
isn't depressed, so that yes. is just complete. No, I just don't, I really
yeah.
hated that.
Well, that Tracy's just brought up a point. You know, there's a ton of fiction where backbones are necessary to be plumped into some characters, especially a lot of women characters. In books that you could go back and rewrite. There's so many.
Yeah, Bella's not a character. She's like a avatar. She's not.
She's an empty shell waiting for a personality to come into.
She's
it, like.
Just a insert yourself here, human shaped thing in a book. And like, I can't talk about this without getting upset. I always get upset. But I will say, if I could go back to Twilight book one. Change a few things around, like about how weirdly controlling he is and how he watches her when she sleeps and how he carries her around like a baby. Just get rid of all of that stuff. Then it would be totally fine. And it could have just ended in that, will they, won't they, what will happen next
I
thing?
I agree.
Fine.
And let's not get
I'm
onto
not
the,
saying it has to be wiped out of existence.
Or the Jacob falling in love with her baby.
That.
Jacob wouldn't exist in my edited Twilight. I mean, I think, is he even in book one? He gets taken out.
I can't remember.
No werewolves.
He's
yeah. There's one big book that I read or I listened to on audio the other day, and just because I'd never gone near it, it was Gone with the Wind.
Mm.
And it is horrendous in so many ways, and there is a lot we could do to that book.
All of the racism?
All the racism. Holy hell. I mean, it's not even, like, in some books it's the narrator who's kind of a bit back and lets the characters be racist, and that's one
but
thing.
This
that's sort of
so is the author
this is
being
the
racist.
Author, the author
what
and
year
the,
was it written?
The 30s, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you know, so I mean,
that was going to be my next question: was it part of the story, or was it just the author?
No, they should have
moved racism coming into it.
Yeah,
oh,
the narrator on top, and it's awful. And the character of Scarlett O'Hara is great because it's awful, and she, you know, there's a whole range of things that you could pull out and just go, "Think, I'm going to take her." I take Rhett and put in another book where there's no racism.
Oh, do that, John.
And have this.
I'm sold.
Because they're great characters, and there's a lot going on with them. I almost feel like taking it off the shelf.
It's unreadable.
Yeah, it's unreadable for its.
But those characters have endured for the you know. Dramatic.
But it is amazing how people talk about this book and they don't reference the other bit, and you're like. How can you not reference the other bit? Because it is almost unlistenable, unreadable because of its horrendousness. Dickens didn't do that, and Jane Austen didn't do that, and there's all these other writers who understood that people were people,
and they were living way earlier at a time when they would have it would almost be more forgivable if they were that.
Yeah, this is after the Enlightenment. This is after everyone understood.
Yeah,
and this person has written this book in the way she's written it. And I was like, wow, gross.
Yeah, that's
gross.
Really weird.
But I would, there's a story in there that's just fantastic. But it just
I've never read it. I've watched the movie.
I've read the book a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you just want to slap her the whole way through because she does some really horrible things and doesn't seem to grow as a human in the way that humans should grow. But then you meet people like her and they get on in this world and they get on and become successful. And whenever you knock them down, they get back up.
Because
really
God
annoying.
Is my witness.
No, they're just annoying people, and it's interesting to have that person as the main character in a book. Like Becky Sharp in Vanity Fair.
But you do meet people like Margaret Mitchell, and particularly when you travel through certain parts of the US, there are so many people that still, even today, have that mindset.
Oh, the world is terribly broken, but they don't all write books that endure for
decades.
Try and influence people with their writing.
And then the movie and everything, and it's just, it's,
mm-hmm.
yeah. no one seems to be talking about that aspect of it. So I'll if I was doing it, that's one I'd definitely rewrite and get all that out of it.
Well, I want to raise one that so many people always complain that they wanted to change something in, but I would leave it exactly as it is, which is Little Women.
Oh, what would they change?
Everyone always is like, I want Joe and Laurie to be together.
No, see, I don't.
Thank you. Good.
I don't didn't like that couple. I would, the thing I would change maybe is Beth dying.
You would change that?
That devastated me when I read that as a kid.
But without that, the book kind of loses its legs a little bit.
It doesn't revolve around Beth dying.
But I think what attracted to me to that book was the relationships between the sisters. So much more than anything else surrounding that. Their relationships with guys and things like that are fairly bland, except maybe for Joe and the professor, which is an interesting
romance. But I didn't actually like that romance.
I love every intro. I wouldn't change it.
We're not changing Little Women.
She didn't even like the book.
I don't care what she thought of it. I think it's great.
She didn't like her own book.
No, she thought it was rubbish.
And yet, here it is.
She was wrong.
One thing I would probably change is the two follow-ons, Good Women and...
Joe's...
Good Wives and Joe's Wives.
Yeah.
Sorry, I consider Joe's Wives to be... I consider it to be part of Little Women. Like,
holy moly. Who are the characters?
Joe's Wives, you know. Whenever you... have you seen movies of it?
Of Little Women?
Good Wives ends when Joe gets together with the professor. So if you know the story up to there, you've read Good Wives.
Well, Little Women ends when she gets together with him.
Yeah.
No, Good Wives does.
Little Women ends when Joe gets with the professor.
Yeah. But, no, this is what I'm saying. Often when you pick up a copy of Little Women, it is Little Women and Good Wives together.
Oh.
So Good Wives ends with Amy and Laurie being together and all of that happens. I actually, Beth dies in Good Wives.
Interesting, because I've
only ever read it as Little Women, and that's when it
will have been published with Good Wives included. That's what often happens, right? I think initially it was Little Women, and then Good Wives, and then Joe's Boys. And then as time went on, Little Women and Good Wives got shoved in together.
You know, it kind of makes sense, because I always felt that story has a very clear, in my mind, it felt like two stories.
Because there's a time jump.
Yeah, that time jump, and it wasn't it just didn't feel natural. It always felt like a different, completely different story every time.
That's where Good Wives begins.
Oh, makes sense now.
The more you know.
I'm never going to get that same though.
I'm going to have to go back to my copies though, because I've got copies from the 70s of Little Women, Good Wives, and Joe's Boys, all the separate stories.
Yeah, go check out Good Wives, because you'll find that it's half of Little Women. another one that I would change is, let's talk about ones that authors change. Can we do that?
Yeah. Well, can I just jump in just 1 second? That Dickens, I'd like to rewrite every woman in Dickens. I mean, apart from Great Expectations, where they've got some nice, but most of the women in Dickens are hopeless.
Oh, okay.
This is interesting.
Yeah, if you go, they're just sort of, they're kind of weak. I mean,
what about Bleak House?
Yeah, but even, they're just sort of carried along. There's no, Bleak House and Our Mutual Friend have some interesting, but generally the women aren't the main. I mean, the one he chooses to marry in David Copperfield almost made me stop reading the book.
Wrong choice.
It wasn't human. Why would you marry an inhuman thing? It's like a talking doll.
I'm just doing a catalogue in my head, and I'm really was hoping to prove you wrong, but I can't think of a single example.
If you think about some of the classic stories, like Jules Verne, there's not a lot of women in any of those stories, or Conan Doyle's Lost World. There really isn't.
They'd have to know some, I think, to be able to write them.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people don't, they don't really have these kind of deep relationships with women, because they don't.
They were very much segregated at that time.
Were none of them married?
Well, some of them were married, but then the wife didn't really have the role of your confidant, your friend, in that sense of your
equal. She was just your baby maker.
Yeah.
Often
they were. They
a lot of the time when these books were being written, women were still considered to be property, not actually people in their own right.
Yeah, but you don't like to think it of Dickens.
Well, Dickens was infatuated with his wife's sister who died when she was 18 or something.
That's
gross. She just appears in the books all the time, this kind of spectral, because she's not real, she's in this fantasy. Mm-hmm. She keeps turning up in the books.
Yeah, well, it's actually, speaking of women, just another one, The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. Love those books, but the one thing I would change is his love interest is, none of you have read it, have you? So he's an amazing character, but his love interest is a girl called Denna, and I can't stand her. She is very weak, in my opinion, and she lets men control her. And
I've heard this. Yeah, isn't she this elusive creature?
Yeah, and she always runs away because things get too hard, and she's really hot-headed, and I just don't think that she's worthy of his admiration. Like, she's just a nothing character to me.
I bet she's super hot, though.
Well, that's it. She's beautiful. She's beautiful, and she's very, alluring and all that kind of stuff. And men, fall over themselves.
Maybe she develops.
Or she goes away. Oh. And that's it. I agree. Like, it's sometimes you hate when your protagonist, you're sitting there thinking, why are you infatuated with this person? Why do you love them? I just don't get it.
Yeah.
So Sarah, what books have people
rewritten? So there was an initially a different ending to The Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah. I heard this. Tell me, that involves
some crazy Hazel and I can't remember the dude's name, but he was
the friend
of Augustus.
Yeah.
Go Bonnie and Clyde, and there's like gangsters and stuff, and there was this like crazy ending. Apparently when he handed the book in, his editor was like, I love it, but I can't tell in the ending whether you're joking or not.
That actually makes zero sense. It has nothing to do with the plot at all.
Wouldn't you love to read it though? Because
someone write a fanfic, come on. Or just John Green put it out there. That's odd.
There was also, speaking of Dickens, there was an alternative, multiple I think alternative endings to Great Expectations. The main one is, it's just a small change, but initially when he wrote it, I think he had Estella married by the time you get that scene at the end where Pip and her run back into each other, and so it was just them meeting again and reaching some sort of like understanding or resolution, but she's already married to someone else, and then that was it. And someone, and I can't remember who, but I can probably find out by referring to these notes, told him that it was too depressing, and so he changed it.
Oh.
It was Edward Bulwer Lytton. John, do you know who that is?
Yeah, another novelist.
Okay, sorry. I'm glad you know. told him, no, too sad, and so he changed it so that she wasn't married and that there's this, possibility that they might, be together. I'm glad of that change,
The reference to Farewell to Arms there, which had changes to the ending as well. With Hemingway. I don't know if you've read Farewell to Arms, but it's a devastating ending. It's a good one for you.
Was the
you love a devastating ending.
We didn't even
ending.
Talk about how I might change Jude Deeb's cure, but the thing is, you can't change it. Like, I don't think it's another one of those things where it's like the novel succeeds in doing what he wanted it to do.
Well, that's it.
It's insidious.
It's a resounding success in its goal, which is to just destroy you and make you hate life.
We're talking about changing the endings. I mean, sometimes it's the ending was sad, say The Fault in Our Stars, the ending is horrifyingly sad, but that's what makes it memorable.
Yeah.
Well, so you don't want to change that, but you want to change more, like we said, aspects of the characters specifically, or the...
And you don't want to have it turn into a heist movie.
No, unless they're throwing eggs, like they were in the... Do you remember that egg scene?
It was that they both die in a hail of bullets or something. Like,
no, that's,
just...
that is... I'm sorry.
Well, it wasn't...
no, John Green.
Hot Fuzz, that movie.
That's a great
movie. I hated that movie.
Changed the end of Romeo and Juliet until it becomes a musical. And they, instead of dying, they all go and do a song. It's so much better.
That would also be memorable.
13 Reasons Why is another one. When Jay Asher initially wrote it, it was going to turn out that Hannah had faked a suicide and she was actually alive.
And see, I haven't read it or seen it or whatever, but the second I heard the premise of it, I thought that's how it was going to end.
That's how he wrote it, but then he realised he'd written a whole book that kind of takes away the seriousness of the subject matter, so he changed the ending, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, I think because that's a cop-out when they do things like that. It's, and they don't want that.
Cop-out endings are the worst, like when it was all a dream, or like...
Oh, has anyone seen that movie North with Elijah Wood?
Yeah.
And it was all a dream.
Hugh. We don't want Hugh.
I love that movie, but the ending always irked me. I was like,
It's never a good thing to unwrite your whole book.
Don't unwrite the whole book. Yeah. This is all a moral lesson. No. Yeah.
Henry James did it. He rewrote his books. It's something to do with copyright, I think, or something to do with a new edition and extended his rights to his own work. But no one reads them. he went back to, as an older man, he went back to his early work and rewrote them because he's smarter now.
And everyone's like, no,
we prefer the early ones.
You did it okay the first time. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, get out of it. Don't touch your work. I mean, there should be a rule about authors not touching their work. Once it's done and out there in the public, they should just...
Yeah. Well, yeah, true, but sometimes... Oh, this isn't a good example because it's TV and not books, but has anyone watched the remix of season 4 Arrested Development? There's an example of something that was much better when it got redone.
Mm. But then sometimes sitting here thinking about, what we'd want to rewrite, even if it's not an ending, I was thinking earlier before about things that I would want to rewrite, and then I thought about the Arthurian legend, and there's lots of different versions and stuff, but one of the versions is, I don't know if you guys know much about it, but who ends up killing Arthur is a guy called Mordred, and in one of the versions it's Mordred is his son, because Arthur rapes his sister, and this is his son/nephew, and so it's a vengeance thing. And I was like, oh, I definitely want to change the whole incest rape thing. But then I think, but that's kind of what makes it so tragic.
It's very Game of Thrones.
It is very Game of Thrones. And so I'm torn between wanting to change it just for maybe the ick factor or whatever. But then that's...
Things with that though as well, it comes down to for example, if Gone with the Wind had been written in the time it was set, you could look at the racism and go, well, that's terrible and we disagree with it now, but it's kind of an important book because
it
shows what was going on in that time, right? But but it wasn't. It was written long afterwards, mm-hmm. and that's why it's even more, it's especially bad. Mm-hmm. But, with stuff like that, or I suppose reluctantly I have to admit with Mansfield Park, the fact was, people did marry their cousins.
They did.
And it wasn't weird, and we just have to deal with that, even though it's horrible.
And back when, things like the Arthurian legend were set, incest and rape were...
And magicians.
And magicians! And magical swords were very common.
But I have no problem with... we had Neil Gaiman retelling myths. We've had Stephen Fry retelling myths that have been retold so many times. That thing I love, rewriting.
Yeah, I agree. Adapting it for a new generation, absolutely. Yeah.
I have an endless appetite for retelling.
And so I think that's how you can maybe get around it today. You want to rewrite,
My version of Mansfield Park.
Just, you can do it, maybe it's not Mansfield Park, you just call it something different. And
Bridget
it's
Jones,
based.
You call it Bridget Jones.
You call it Bridget Jones.
I was Pride and Prejudice John.
Yeah, John.
The Hogarth Shakespeare series.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, holy crap, that's great.
Somehow we always bring it back to retellings.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll catch you next Wednesday at 11 a.m.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.